such a way that people repeat that lesson for all time to come. Devananda Pandit was a very great scholar. He was perfectly celibate. He had full control over all of his senses. He was very gentle. He was quite humble in many ways. And he exclusively studied and spoke from one scripture, and that was Srimad Bhagavatam. And in the town of Navadvip, he was the foremost of all reciters of Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, of all the scholars in Navadvip, he was one of the most highly respected and highly esteemed. But there was one problem. He never received the mercy of the Vaishnavas. He never served the Vaishnavas. And therefore, he never developed a taste for devotional service. He had a strong longing in his heart for liberation. And therefore, he would explain the Srimad Bhagavatam in that way. One day, Lord Chaitanya and his associates were passing by the ashram where he lived, which is in a place of Navadvip called Kulia. And Lord Chaitanya heard his explanations from Srimad Bhagavatam. And as he listened, he could understand that this man is explaining everything without a trace of devotion to Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya became very angry. He said, "Who is this rascal who thinks that he could teach Srimad Bhagavatam to others? He is not qualified to speak Bhagavatam. He is not qualified to read Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is the essence of all the Vedas. It deals exclusively with pure unalloyed devotion. It kicks out the concept of artha, kama, dhamma, and even liberation. And he is speaking that the goal of Bhagavatam is liberation? I do not hear even a word of devotion from his mouth. Srimad Bhagavatam is like the most delicious yogurt, dahi. And Shukadeva Goswami has churned that yogurt and made it into pure butter. And he has fed it to Maharaj Parikshit, who is eating it to his full satisfaction. Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different than Krishna himself. And Shukadeva Goswami, he presented Bhagavatam for only one purpose, to glorify the personality of Krishna and teach unalloyed service to Krishna. But this man, he does not understand. In his birth, he doesn't even have a trace of understanding of what is Bhagavatam. Therefore, all his teaching is simply cheating. And then Lord Chaitanya, who is none different than Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in great anger, transcendental anger, he called out, "I will take his Bhagavatam and I will rip it to pieces." And he started running to Devananda Pandit's ashram. And the devotees somehow or other stopped Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya walked away. One day, Lord Chaitanya was walking with Srivas Thakur, and they came across a house of many men who were drinking wine and getting drunk, and they were terribly intoxicated. So Lord Chaitanya was in the mood of Balaram, and he wanted to go in to preach to them. But Srivas Thakur said, "You cannot go in there. What will people say if you go into this house of people who are drinking wine?" And Lord Chaitanya said, "No, I will go where I want to go." And Srivas Thakur said, "But you will lose your reputation. And if people criticize you due to misunderstanding you, that will be worse than death to me. Therefore, my Lord, please know, if you go in that house, I will at this very moment drown myself in the river Ganges. This is the nature of a devotee. A devotee lives only to see the Lord glorified. And there is nothing more painful. Even death is not so painful. Even the most terrible chronic disease is not so painful for a devotee as hearing the Lord or his devotees being criticized or blasphemed. That is unbearable. So when Lord Chaitanya saw Srivas's very sweet and faithful devotion, he said, "All right, I will not go in the house of the drunkards." But the Lord is in everyone's heart. He is Paramatma. So somehow he induced all the drunkards to come outside. And when they saw him, they said, "Oh, this Nimai Pandit, he is very good. He is always chanting the holy names." And then they all began, in their drunken, intoxicated state, they all began dancing and dancing while chanting the holy names. Went on and on following the Lord and very blissfully singing and chanting and dancing. And when Srivas saw this, he began to weep tears of love. What is the mercy and compassion of the Lord? He has transformed these drunkards into devotions by into devotees by inducing them to chant the holy names. And as Lord Chaitanya bestowed his merciful glance upon all of these drunkards, they became intoxicated, not with wine, but with Krishna prema, and with great enthusiasm they chant the holy name. The Lord does not care what is your past, but if you are simply submissive to receive his mercy, even if you are in from the lowest category within human society, Lord Chaitanya will give you the greatest mercy. Seeing the drunkards, Lord Chaitanya began to smile. And he walked on his way. And then he happened to meet Devananda Pandit. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, "Hi, Devananda, you come here, you listen to what I have to say." He said, "You are a rascal. You are a nonsense. You do not understand what is Bhagavat and you are preaching Bhagavat. There are two types of Bhagavat. There is the person Bhagavat and there is the book Bhagavat. The book Bhagavat is non-different than Krishna. It is the literary incarnation of Krishna. And no one, however great or learned or austere one may be, can approach Krishna unless one gets the favor of a devotee. And a person, Bhagavat, is that devotee who lives his life according to the teachings of Bhagavat. And Srivas is such a person, Bhagavat. And you have made an offense to him." When Lord Chaitanya saw Devananda, he remembered the offense. This particular story happened before Lord Chaitanya even manifested his lila of establishing the Sankirtan movement within this world. It happened many, many, many years back. But if you offend a devotee, the Lord never forgets it, unless you atone properly for that offense. What happened is this. Devananda Pandit, in his academy, was teaching Srimad Bhagavatam to his many hundreds of students. And in those days, there were so many scholars and so many pundits in Navadvip, but there was hardly any devotees scattered here and there. And the devotees are always eager to hear the wonderful glories of Krishna from Srimad Bhagavatam. Because factually, Srimad Bhagavatam, being the incarnation of Krishna in book form, every word, every syllable is completely concentrated with all the opulence, beauty, and glory of Krishna. And any syllable from the Bhagavatam can invoke ecstatic love of God from the heart if it is heard with submissive, humble heart, and if one gains the favor of the Vaishnavas. Srivas happened to be walking by that place, and he went into the school of Devananda Pandit. And as he was speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, Srivas Thakur began to remember Krishna. Became so engrossed in the Bhagavatam that he went into an ecstatic trance of devotion. Tears began to flow from his eyes. His limbs began to tremble. His hairs began to stand on end. All the eight symptoms of ecstasy, astasattvika bhava, became manifest in his body. And he began to cry very loudly. And the students, they had no devotion, nor did they know what is a devotee. They were reading Srimad Bhagavatam simply from an academic point of view. So they considered Srivas to be simply a disturbance to their class. So very rudely, they picked him up and they threw him outside. And Srivas was laying there in the dirt. And then he came back to his external consciousness and he felt very, very bad. And he went home without saying anything. But Lord Chaitanya remembered that offense. And face to face with Devananda Pandit, he said that you are reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, but the person Bhagavatam came right into your school, the pure devotee of Krishna, who has realized the essence of Bhagavatam. And because you are a fool, you do not understand what is love of God. You have thrown him out, you have abused him, you have manhandled him. Because the guru is responsible for whatever the disciples do. Your pupils did this, you did not stop him, you are responsible for this offense. And then he said to Devananda Pandit, you have no qualification to recite Bhagavatam. You have no qualification to be a teacher, you are cheating. And Lord Chaitanya walked away. And Devananda Pandit was very embarrassed. And he felt quite sad. But at the same time, he just went home. What could he do? He was such a big, big, famous scholar, being adored by everyone. Soon after this, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas. He left Navadvip and he traveled to Jagannath Puri to make his residence. Some years went by. From Jagannath Puri went Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, toured all the holy places of South India, and he transformed the lives of millions and millions of people into pure unalloyed devotees of the Lord by inducing them to chant the holy name. When he returned to Puri, he decided to go to see the beautiful form of Mother Ganges in Navadvip. And he also decided to forgive all those persons who had made offenses to him. So he began to travel with his associates. He came to the holy land of Navadvip. And he went to the brother of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house, whose name was Vidyavichaspati. And while he was there, this great personality, fortunate personality, offered his dandavat obeisances to Lord Chaitanya. So happy he had come to his house. And the Lord told him that I would like to be here in a quiet place with you. And I will stay at your home for many days, and then I will go to Mathura in Vrindavan. So Vidya Vachaspati was so happy. But somehow or other, the word spread that Lord Chaitanya has returned to Navadvip. And all the people of Navadvip who were so intoxicated by their wealth and their high knowledge, so many of them offended Lord Chaitanya and did not recognize him. But after he took sannyas and they heard of his glories, then they understood, here is our real hometown hero. He is the person who is really the jewel of Navadvip, and we did not recognize him properly there. But now we will go and take shelter of his lotus feet. And there were also so many people of Navadvip who actually became devotees by the powers of Lord Chaitanya, Sri Navadvip Chandra. And they were cast in an ocean of separation. And when they heard that Lord Chaitanya was back, in this way, millions of people were running from all directions to the house of Vidya Vachaspati. The roads became so full that no humans could possibly fit on them. So people were going through the jungles. Millions, hundreds and thousands, they were roaming. The roads were filled, the jungles, they were knocking down all the thorns and all the bushes and all the trees. The whole jungles were being cleared just by the feet of devotees. And then they came to the Ganges, and they had to cross the Ganges. As they were traveling, they were all completely immersed in the expectation of seeing Lord Chaitanya, and they were all loudly chanting the holy name.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
When they came to the Ganges, the problem was how to cross it. So some ferry boat came, and all the ferry boats, within seconds, there were thousands and thousands of people on the ferry boat, and the ferry boat completely fell to pieces. And the owners of the boats, they couldn't keep people from boarding. How do you stop crowds like that? And the people, out of sympathy that the man's boat was destroyed, they gave the ferryman their clothes or whatever they had. So how to cross the Ganges? Some of them took clay pots and held it to their chests and started floating across like that. And some of them were taking banana, trunks of banana trees and making them into little rafts and floating across like that. In this way, the devotees, millions of people crossing the Ganges, millions of heads floating in the Ganges, and some were swimming, and some had absolutely no idea. Jayadvaita Maharaj ki. Hare Krishna. Please, Maharaj. Please, come. It's a great honor to receive His Holiness Sri Jayadvaita Maharaj. This unexpected visit. Hare Krishna. So, some of the people didn't even know how to swim. But miraculously, they began swimming. Even in the high currents of the Ganges. And when they all came across, they all went to Vidya Vachaspati's house. And they said, "We have heard that Lord Chaitanya is living in your house." By that time, there were hundreds and thousands, millions of people begging him, "Please ask the Lord to come out." So he went into the house and he said to Lord Chaitanya that all of these people are eager to meet you, eager to see you. Srila Rupa Goswami explains, this is the price of seeing the beautiful form of the Lord, is that eagerness to see the Lord. These people were so eager to see the Lord, they literally forgot their wives, forgot their children, forgot their homes, forgot all their responsibilities, forgot all their occupational duties for that day, in fact, forever. When it came to crossing the Ganges, they forgot whether they knew how to swim or not, they just swam. When it came to crossing to get to the Ganges, they forgot whether there's jungle or no jungle. They just ran over thorns, through trees. This is the type of eagerness we should have for Krishna. Yaya tamam prapadyante tams tataiva bhajamyaham mama varat manu varatante manushya paratasara. According to how eager we are for Krishna, to serve Krishna, to chant his name, to hear about him, to be with his devotees, to that degree Krishna will gradually bestow his mercy upon you and reveal himself to you. So Lord Chaitanya came out of the house of Vidyavachaspati and he raised his arms and he induced everyone to very loudly call out the holy name. And all the people, they all began with very, very humble hearts to pray to the Lord that we are very sinful. We are very offensive. Please, please tell us how can we relieve ourselves from our sins and become purified as your devotees. And Lord Chaitanya mercifully glanced at all of them and gave them the same message. He said, chant Krishna's name. Worship Krishna. Hear about Krishna. Make Krishna your life. Make Krishna your wealth. Make Krishna your very heart and soul. And then he asked everyone to chant the beautiful kirtan of the holy name. And as people, they all wanted to see Lord Chaitanya. And there were so many millions of them. Thousands of people at a time were trying to climb up the same tree just to get a view of Lord Chaitanya. And somehow or other, they all saw him. Tens and thousands of people were crowded on little rooftops. How the roof didn't break was only by the mercy of the Lord. In this way, there was a wonderful, wonderful kirtan, an exchange between Lord Chaitanya and his devotees. And then Lord Chaitanya disappeared. He did not tell anything to anyone. And even Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's brother, Vidyavachaspati, did not know where Lord Chaitanya had gone. He was searching everywhere. And all of the people were asking him, where is he? Where is he? He said, I do not know. He has gone away. He is not in my house. And then the people, nobody believed him. That was the problem. One person came secretly and said, bring me in to see Lord Chaitanya. I'm all alone. Nobody else will know that you take me. And he said, I don't know where he is. He said, of course you know where he is. Bring me in. No one will know. Just me. And then other little groups would come and say, Vidyavachaspati, we want to see Lord Chaitanya. We know you're hiding him. We know it's a big crowd, but just us, just let us in. We're your friends. We'll do anything for you. He said, I don't know where he is. And soon the crowds were becoming angry, and hundreds and thousands and millions of people were calling out, Vidyavachaspati, what kind of Brahmin is he? A devotee and a Brahmin is supposed to be merciful. What is he doing? He simply wants to be liberated himself and he wants all the rest of us to go to hell. He wants to keep Lord Chaitanya for himself and cause all of us to suffer, bereft of his association. Just like a person who has sweetmeats and wants to eat them all himself and not distribute anything to anyone else. Lord Chaitanya is the sweetest of the sweet and he wants to keep it all for himself. He is a cheater. He is a liar. He is a crook. He is not a proper Brahmin. And Vidyavachaspati's heart was being broken by hearing all these words against him. And you can imagine, on one side, he was suffering the severe experience of separation because Lord Chaitanya left him, just like everybody else. And on the other side, everyone condemned him as being a liar and a cheater. So he was suffering terribly. And then one Brahmin whispered in his ear, Lord Chaitanya has gone to Kulia. He's gone to the place of Kulia, to the house of Madhava Das. There you will find him. So he came out and he told all the people, Lord Chaitanya has gone to Kulia. We should all go. And immediately everyone started going toward Kulia. But now there were millions of people more than before. And as they were traveling, and they were all in great expectation, just running and jumping and dancing, chanting the holy names. When they came to the Ganges, there were many, many boats waiting for them. Everybody who had a boat arranged their boats there. And so many people were piling on the boats, more than the boat could possibly go. They started to try to go, and all the boats started to sink. Every boat. But whatever boat started to sink, just where it was sinking, land happened to be right under it. So not one boat sank. Because they were so anxious to see Lord Chaitanya, he was protecting them against all material laws. And then they just jumped out of their boats and somehow or other started swimming and floating and getting across the Ganges. And when they all came to Madhava Das's house in Kulia, Vidyavachaspati was looking everywhere. And he found Lord Chaitanya. And he said, please, everyone is accusing me of so many terrible things. And you are the protector of your devotee. So please give them your mercy and show them that you are really here. So by that time, all the people were gathered around the house in great expectation. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came outside and he raised his arms and induced everyone to chant the holy name. This way, Lord Chaitanya asked everyone to have kirtan. And because there were so many people, literally thousands and thousands of different kirtan groups all started their own kirtans. They were all dancing and they were all chanting. And everyone's eyes were seeing the beautiful form of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, whose beautiful golden complexion was resplendent with the ambrosial essence of ecstatic love. And anyone who would see it would become stimulated with love for Krishna. And as everyone was chanting and dancing, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally went into the groups along with Lord Nityananda Prabhu, and they began dancing with all the people. And in this way, there was a wonderful, wonderful kirtan. The whole universe was filled with the beautiful sound of Krishna's holy names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced with all the people for many, many hours. And then he sat in a quiet place. And people who had committed aparads, offenses to him, began to approach him. There was Gopal Chakravarti. He came at that time. Kulia is the land of the forgiveness of offenses to the Lord and his devotees. Gopal Chakravarti, when Haridas Thakur was preaching the glories of the holy name at a meeting arranged by Raghunath Das Goswami's father and uncle, Govardhan and Hiranya Madhumadar. Haridas was saying that the holy name is so powerful, even if pronounced incorrectly, even with Nambhas, one becomes cleaned and purified of all anarthas within the heart. And he explained the goal of chanting the holy name is love of God. In comparison, liberation is insignificant. It is simply an insignificant byproduct of Krishna prema. And Gopal Chakravarti, he was very much upset. He was a Mayavadi, and his goal of life was liberation. So he said, if liberation is just an insignificant byproduct of bhakti, he said, I don't believe. If what you are saying is not true, then may your nose fall off. So he offended Haridas. He got fired from his job and kicked out of that place, Gopal Chakravarti. And the next day he got leprosy and his fingers and his nose fell off. And he suffered terribly. He came before Lord Chaitanya at Kulia and begged his forgiveness. And Lord Chaitanya said, because you have offended the holy name of Krishna, the only relief is to constantly chant the holy name with your mouth very loudly.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
And in this way, Gopal Chakravarti became a purified devotee of the Lord. And all of his injustices and all of his offenses were removed. And then Gopal Chapala came. Gopal Chapala had offended Srivas Thakur by trying to insult him and defame his name. And he contracted terrible, terrible leprosy himself. And he was suffering. At one time he even approached Lord Chaitanya and fell at his feet and said, I beg forgiveness from you, please relieve me of this miserable condition. And Lord Chaitanya said, because you have offended my devotee, I declare that you should suffer like this for 10 millions of births. But in Kulia, he came to Lord Chaitanya with a repentant heart. And Lord Chaitanya told him, if you beg forgiveness of Srivas Thakur and never offend Vaishnavas again and take the holy name of Krishna, Krishna will forgive you. And he did that. And his leprosy was removed. And he also became a great devotee of the Lord. And then another Brahmin came before Lord Chaitanya. And he said, my Lord, I have made great mistakes. I have been offensive to your holy name. I have been offensive to you. And I have been offensive to your devotees. I was thinking that in the age of Kali Yuga, no one can be a real Vaishnava. And all your devotees were simply pretenders. And with my mouth I criticized them so many times. But now I understand who you are and who your devotees are. And my heart is burning with shame for what I have done. Please tell me, how can I atone for this offense? And Lord Chaitanya gave very precious instructions, which we should all heal very carefully. He said that if you drink poison, that poison will cause you great suffering and death. But with the same mouth that you have drunk poison, if you drink nectar, that will neutralize the effects of the poison and give you immortality. To criticize the name of the Lord, and especially to criticize the devotees of the Lord, is like willingly drinking poison. With that same mouth that you have criticized and blasphemed devotees, you should use that mouth to constantly hear and chant the glories of the Lord. And you should use your mouth always to glorify the characteristics and qualities of the Lord's devotees, the Vaishnavas. Through poetry, through song, through words, always keep your mouth filled with the nectar of the glorification of the Vaishnavas. And in this way you will achieve forgiveness from your offenses and immortality. That Brahman became an intimate associate and devotee of the Lord by following those principles. And Lord Chaitanya wanted to demonstrate through this wonderful pastime how an offense to Krishna is serious, but an offense to his devotee is much more serious. And service to Krishna is glorious, but there is nothing more glorious and pleasing to Krishna than service to his devotees. The ultimate religious principle in this age of Kali Yuga is to serve the Vaishnava devotees, because that is the only way that the Yuga Dharma can properly be performed, the chanting of the holy names. And it was at that time that Devananda Pandit appeared on the scene. Today is the disappearance day of Devananda Pandit. So. Devananda Pandit, after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas and was chastised by the Lord, from the chastisement he became a little purified. And one day Vakreshwar Pandit, who was one of the very, very special associates of the Lord, came to Devananda Pandit's ashram. Wherever Vakreshwar Pandit would chant and dance, people would become filled with enthusiasm for devotional service. In fact, it is said that Vakreshwar Pandit, Lord Chaitanya said, he said, when he dances, he said, he is like wings to my heart, and by seeing him dance, I can fly. Sometimes he would dance in kirtan for the pleasure of Lord Chaitanya for days and days at a time without stopping. He was the embodiment of love for Krishna. So Devananda Pandit saw the humility and the devotion in Vrakreshwar Pandit, and he appreciated it. And he invited him to stay in his ashram with him, and he served him and cared for him. And from Vakreshwar Pandit, he heard the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he understood that he was actually Krishna, the personality of Godhead. And sometimes when Vakreshwar Pandit would have kirtan and sing and dance, people from all around would crowd to see his beautiful dancing. And Devananda Pandit, with his stick, he would keep people from crowding in and interfering with the dance of this devotee. And sometimes Vrakreshwar Pandit would fall in love of God, and Devananda Pandit would catch him, and he would put him on his lap, and with his own cloth he would dust the dust from Devananda Pandit's body. And sometimes Devananda Pandit would take the dust from Vrakreshwar Pandit's feet and place it on his head and smear his body with it. When one develops devotion and attachment to serving a Vaishnava, one becomes the most pleasing to Krishna. And only through this process can the essence of knowledge and bhakti be revealed within our hearts. So by the mercy of Vrakreshwar Pandit, Devananda Pandit came before Lord Chaitanya. He was standing in a corner, kind of hiding, because he was so ashamed and shy. But Lord Chaitanya saw him, and he said, "Devananda Pandit, come here. You have served Vrakreshwar Pandit. You have pleased him. He is the embodiment of love of God. Wherever Vrakreshwar Pandit's body may be, that is the essence of all holy places. That is the abode of the Lord. Because the Lord is always so pleased to live within his heart." Devananda Pandit came and offered his prostrated obeisances again and again and again with tears in his eyes before Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then Lord Chaitanya, or Devananda Pandit, he said that, please tell me how I can atone for my offenses. And please tell me how I can properly recite Srimad Bhagavatam. And Lord Chaitanya told him that Srimad Bhagavatam, from the beginning, the middle, and end, only has one subject, bhakti, pure devotion. Pure devotional service is the only thing that is immortal. At the end of the creation, everything will be finished, but pure devotional service will remain always resplendent. He said that Srimad Bhagavatam is the very body of Krishna. Just as Kurma Avatar, Matsya Avatar, Varaha Avatar appeared at certain times by their own free will, in the same way, Srimad Bhagavatam has appeared by its own free will through the mouth of Vedavyas. Vedavyas wrote the four Vedas, all the Upanishads, the Puranas, the Itihastas, the Mahabharata, the Vedanta Sutra, but still he was dissatisfied in his heart. But through the inspiration of Narada Muni and the grace of the Personality of Godhead, Srimad Bhagavatam was revealed, which was the perfection, the fulfillment of his mission, and brought him great satisfaction. Whoever you teach Srimad Bhagavatam to, you must know that every word, every lesson that you give should only teach humility and devotion to Krishna. That is the goal of life and the only way to achieve the goal of life. And you must always humbly serve the Vaishnavas. Because unless we please the person Bhagavatam, the book Bhagavatam will not reveal its truth to us. We can be the greatest scholar, but Bhagavat is Krishna. Krishna does not reveal himself to scholars. If we please his devotees, then when we read Bhagavatam, true knowledge will be awakened. His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he has translated Srimad Bhagavatam. And he has given wonderful purports according to all the previous acharyas. Those who read his Bhagavatam and who associate with his devotees, it's very simple to understand the essence of pure devotional service. But without the blessings of such a pure soul, how many Bhagavatam reciters are there in India and in the world, and practically none of them believe in Krishna as the Personality of Godhead? They have so many interpretations, so many calculations, so many misconceptions. And by hearing their recitals, how many people are surrendering to the lotus feet of Krishna as the all-in-all, following in the footsteps of Prahlad or Dhruva or Ambarish or the denizens of Vrindavan? How many are going to these pravachans and coming out with this conclusion of changing their lives and surrendering? Because unless we hear from the devotee, and unless we become the servant of such a devotee, these conclusions remain hidden from our hearts. So through Devananda Pandit, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed the supreme glory of Srimad Bhagavatam and how to hear it and how to recite it. And Devananda Pandit, now endowed with pure unalloyed devotion, became a true authority of Srimad Bhagavatam and offered his repeated obeisances to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when the devotees saw this, they became so pleased, so happy to see the Lord's mercy. They all blissfully had kirtan, chanting the holy names.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama.
So on this day, the disappearance day of Sri Devananda Pandit, we are very fortunate to hear this wonderful story. In fact, Vrindavan Das Thakur explains that anyone who sincerely hears this wonderful narration of the Lord's deliverance of Devananda Pandit will become free from all offenses and will achieve Lord Chaitanya's special mercy of devotional service to Lord Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. We have special guests today I would like to introduce. First of all, Samik Rishi Prabhu. Please come. Samik Rishi Prabhu is a very well-loved devotee throughout the whole world. He is one of Srila Prabhupada's very dear disciples. He's a doctor in America and very, very successful and exemplary in his occupation, and has brought many, many people to Krishna consciousness through his pure lifestyle and exemplary life. And his whole family are wonderful devotees. 3 children, 4 children. And his wife is also an initiated devotee. And it's so wonderful that practically at all times some Vaishnava is living at his house. It is the favorite stopping place for all sannyasis when they come to America, I will say. Practically any sannyasi who comes to America spends some days at Samik Rishi Prabhu's house, because he has special rooms that he personally built just to receive guests, devotees. And his family is always anxious and blissful to cook for devotees. And they have a beautiful temple in their house with Jagannath and beautiful marble deities of Radha Sharad Bihari. Huh? And Gornitai, and so many deities. Each member of the family has their own altar where they perform their own special pujas. And His Holiness Srila Satsvarup Das Goswami has bestowed such special love and mercy on Samik Rishi. Many of his books that you have all read were written at Samik Rishi Prabhu's house. He often stays there several months a year, because the love and affection and care that this family shows to this great soul has made it such an attractive place for him to be and perform his service. Samik Rishi Prabhu is really an embodiment of how a grihastha can perfect his life in Krishna consciousness by always being anxious to serve the devotees. When I was in America last summer, he invited me to come to his house. And when I was there, there was 40-50 people. Not only did they come to the house, but they all stayed at his house overnight, ate all their meals there. He invited Malati, Mataji, and Malati said, "But I'm with 25 others." He said, "Bring them all." So they stayed several days. In this way, there's no question of too many people or too less people or privacy or anything else. His whole family simply works together to serve Vaishnavas with happy, anxious anticipation for devotional service. And we're just so honored and happy that he has come to Radha Gopinath Mandir. I would like everyone to kindly welcome him with great enthusiasm. And we also have Akhila Adhara Prabhu. Where? He's a very wonderful disciple of Srila Prabhupada, and he has for so many years been distributing books and preaching, and he was traveling with the Utsav party, I believe. And we're very happy to receive him. Let us offer a welcome to him. And Ekalavya Prabhu, disciple of His Holiness Lokanath Maharaj, who's always very blissful. He led Guru Puja this morning and made everyone dance very jubilantly. And he's famous throughout the world of ISKCON for playing his transcendental trumpet during kirtans. He's actually a very masterful player of trumpet, and he has really gone to the extent of showing us what is Yukta Vairagya. Srila Jayadvaita Maharaj is reminding us that he was on the cover of BTG playing his trumpet during kirtan. How everything can be used in Krishna's service to glorify the holy name of the Lord. Let us welcome him to Sri Radha Gopinath. And of course, our dear mentor and guide, His Holiness Jayadvaita Maharaj, who you all know so intimately and dearly, we'd like to welcome him to Radha Gopinath. For you. Garland is for you, Maharaj. Were you not trying to put it on him? Yes. Samik Rishi Prabhu will be very much sad if you do not accept his offer. Haribo. Have a better plan. There's a higher platform. It has touched your feet. Jayadvaita Maharaj is so happy that the new latest edition of Back to Godhead has become so nice that he is uncontrolled in his joy. He's showing ecstatic symptoms that only a very highly realized soul can understand. I read about Lord Nityananda Prabhu, but today we are seeing him. By your power. So
Swami Grishi Prabhu, we would be very happy if you speak a few words to the devotees.
Okay, verse from Bhagavad Gita and try to explain that. Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Nasochati Nakangshati Sama Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Lavate Param. This is from 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So, Brahma Bhuteshti, like Maharaj was also quoting this verse. Sorry that I have some sore throat, so my voice is not good, so please excuse me. So this Brahma Bhuteshti is when one knows his proper position, when one knows that he is servant of the Lord, one is it the Supreme Lord, and when one engages in the service of the Lord, so when he knows his relationship, sadhya and sadhan, that was described in Chaitanya Charitamrita about between Ramananda Rai and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this was the relationship between the Supreme Lord and the soul. So one who realizes this identification, who he is, and engages in that way, in the service of the Lord, then he is said to be in a Brahma Bhuta stage. So such a person, he does not lament or does not hanker for any material things. And he is equal to everyone, all the living entity, he is equal. And in that stage, he is always happy. Sama sarveshu bhuteshu mad bhaktim lavate param. And then he develops love for Godhead. He develops his proper destination. So Maharaj has explained very elaborately about the offenses to the Supreme Lord or the devotees of the Lord, how to avoid the offenses and try never to commit the offenses to the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas. So that is the essence of this Vedic culture or Vaishnava culture, or the essence is to serve the lotus feet of the devotees, Vaishnavas, not to commit any offenses, and then the Lord, he becomes very dear to the Lord. Hare Krishna.